Welcome to Box Office Battle. I'm Biggs.
It's raining.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Aaron, and this is Kate.
Well, thank you for speaking for me.
It's raining.
I am Kate, so, and it's raining.
I'm going to write a Jezebel post about you.
We are finally paying the price for recording outside.
It's totally raining.
Yeah, so this is a tie-in with the Alien Movie Project. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's at alienmovieproject.com. Is that right?
Absolutely.
So we are going to do all of the first 8 movies that Aaron and Kate have put together. All of the aliens, we're going to put them together in a versus mode here, and then the surviving 4 are going to go in a battle royale.
Correct. We're going to have 4 heads-up trials followed by a battle royale to determine a group winner. There will be 6 groups.
Box office battle, if you will.
A box office battle royale that will determine 6 group winners. And then at the end of the Alien Movie Project, after 52 episodes, we'll come back maybe or figure out a way to do a grand finale.
So you got to stick it out over the next year or so.
Yeah.
To get the grand finale winner here.
Yeah. Well, we're going to finish. We're going to do 52. We know
so
that much.
Just listen to Alien Movie Project, Box Office Battle. You'll get it all.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Correct. So should we list the movies that we're going to talk about?
Yes.
All right. So here are the movies, and then I'll give you the contestants for the first heads-up trial. The first 8 episodes. Number 1 was...
The story that Travis Walton and 5 other witnesses told was so unbelievable, so unimaginable, that it has become the most famous case of UFO abduction ever reported.
Fire in the Sky. Number 2 is...
A thrilling ride from beginning to end. The Faculty.
Number 3 is...
I'm going to recommend to the president that we militarize this project immediately.
There's no reason to believe that their intentions are hostile.
There's no proof of that.
Contact. Number 4 is...
We're gonna lose everybody out here.
Pitch Black.
Number 5.
The bugs laid a trap for us, didn't they?
Prepare for battle and journey to the front lines of the next frontier.
Kill them all!
Starship Troopers.
Number 6.
Some animals around the county have been acting funny. Some of them violent. It's almost like they act when they smell a predator around.
I'm a little scared. All this stuff on TV. Joe Gills was in here talking about the end of the world.
There's a monster outside my room. Can I have a glass of water?
Number 7 was...
I don't recall them being human.
I'm going to go my baby screaming!
You people, you sit there. You're in for one big surprise.
And number 8...
The warning, the signal, the mystery, the danger. The intrusion, the wonderment, the enchantment, the hope, the connection has been made. Universal Pictures presents Steven Spielberg's E.T. The Extraterrestrial.
And so as I understand, Aaron and Kate will kind of moderate us, help us out a little bit here, and the 3 of us are going to pick a winner.
Absolutely.
Out of these. I think we're going to find a scenario where the alien that is pitted against each other wins and then figure out which is
Should
more likely.
Should we go with the simple democracy, 2 votes out of 3?
Yeah, I think
that one
so.
Votes
sure.
on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And we, just to be clear, we are allowed to suggest scenarios where these aliens may team up
yeah.
move forward
mm-hmm.
to the next round together.
When we get to the Royale, yes.
Oh,
the
yeah.
first round is versus.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good point. In the heads-up trials, they have to eliminate, but in the Royale, they could maybe merge together and cooperate to succeed.
And there's room for interpretation.
I love interpretation.
So there's going to be 6 groups. Group A, we have called the Nautilus Group. Do you want to explain why?
Because I thought it was a good name.
Uh-huh. Yeah. yeah, right? It sounds prestigious.
Basically,
it does. Jules Verne.
Yeah, exactly. It sounded sort of... you know, sea exploration.
Yeah, a lot of ocean tropes in the Alien Movie Project. We talk a lot about that.
Oceans are sort of the inverse of space.
Yeah, space sort of seems to act as a metaphor
for the ocean.
It is an
ocean.
Yep,
we talk
a lot about that. Mm-hmm. Nowhere space.
I mean,
oceans
there's a reason
are
so many space.
Space
movies are basically pirate movies.
Yep,
oh, well,
for sure.
Almost every Alien movie is a pirate movie.
It's not what we're here to talk about now, though, so let's get right back on track.
We love our tangents.
Nip that conversation in the bud and
so,
say...
So check in next week when we watch The Abyss.
Yeah, that's our next episode is The Abyss. So
all right.
There's your ocean
I'm
narrative.
Looking forward to that episode.
Mm-hmm. So here you go. The first heads-up trial. You ready?
Yes.
If you saw a fire in the sky, the aliens that abducted our friend Travis Walton were these kind of tall, wrinkly, old man baby looking guys. And they had these plastic spacesuits that they wore that looked like your gray alien with the you know, the round head and the almond eyes.
There's, old man babies.
There's two of those. And they are going to fight from the movie The Faculty, the huge queen slug at the end, and one slug-infested Jon Stewart. And yes, that's Jon Stewart from The Daily Show.
Okay.
5'6".
5'6", 150 pounds, we found out.
I know we've said they have technology, but do they have ships with them?
They have whatever technology they would bring with them to the Battle Royale.
Okay.
Mostly not
okay,
ships.
Okay, so I haven't seen Fire in the Sky. So I want to say, what pluses would the Fire in the Sky aliens have?
They're wrinkly old man babies.
They're really good at surgery.
They're very good at surgery.
Oh, they're horrible slash really good at surgery.
One of the things they have is this like sheet that they pull up over you,
the
and
worst.
Then this powder comes down, and all of a sudden this nice comfy
you're
sheet
unconscious.
Turns into like this saran wrap style.
And then you get sucked into
suction.
Place.
Yeah, and you can't.
And
you just
can't
scream
move.
Into it
and
horribly.
And people are, or sorry, not people. Aliens are cutting into you
needles
while
in your
you're
eyes.
Laying there and screaming.
So that's horrific.
Yeah, it's
Travis,
not so good.
Travis Walton does kick one in the face.
Travis Walton had a very bad time.
He did have a bad time.
The guys from the faculty.
The queen slug is fast. Jon Stewart.
She's blonde.
Gets killed by a pen in his eye.
Yeah, gets a pen in the face.
But the pen has drugs in it, a very specific drug called scat.
It's true.
That may or may not be present in the battle.
It's mostly speed.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I think. Okay, so the fire in the sky scenario where they come out, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's just like a scalpel in the eye. They dissect them until they figure out what's up.
Simple.
Right? That would be the scenario where fire in the sky wins, right?
Yeah.
I would think that the Jon Stewart alien where he wins is just, I don't know, man. Like, don't they just maim people?
No, see,
you
John
put their
Stewart,
tongue in their ear and turn them into an alien.
Jon Stewart
that's
talks
right.
you out of it.
And
he's like, oh, you're fine. You're totally fine.
Let's just lower these blinds.
Hold on, I'm going to close the windows.
I'll be right back.
Hold on, these blinds. Oh, we need to close the blinds.
Now let me put my tongue
now,
in your
hold
ear.
Hold on a minute. Yeah, it's like no one needs to see what we're doing.
Would you say it gets a little rapey?
It does get a little rapey.
It might.
Let's be honest. It gets a little rapey.
Now, I got to say, in that scenario, Jon Stewart, about the same size as the baby aliens.
Yeah, he is. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I would say the other aliens are maybe
size.
Taller.
Oh, by 3 inches.
He might be able to snake that tongue up into the
yeah, he could.
Ear.
He could do it.
What do you think, Zach?
Biased.
Well, I've been really cooking some thoughts about the
I've
queen
been
slug
watching
here.
Over here. There's a storm brewing.
There is a lot going on
I've
over
got
here.
A whole lot to say.
All right. I'm sitting back.
Well, I think about slugs. They aren't typically viewed as threats, right? Like, these are generally things.
Until
anything.
You watch the movie Slither. Then...
Anything
ooh,
slug
we're gonna
related.
We're going to watch that movie.
Yeah. Anything slug related, as long as it's an individual, you feel like you can do something about it. But what makes slugs horrifying as alien monster fighter warrior villains is the same thing that makes the old school George Romero slow zombies works. You can even go back to Aesop Fables. It's the same reason why the moral of the tortoise beating the hare works. It's this idea that something in a package that leads you in a total different direction, that leads you to believe you are safe, that you have things under control, are slowly able to get inside of you and take you down.
Subtlety.
That is a horrifying thought. They have an ability 100%. To take advantage of your thinking. Now, I also, when I was a kid, I read a book series called The Animorphs, which was about children who had an ability.
We're going to get a lit review here.
Here we go.
It was about children who had the ability to take animal DNA and turn into them. And the big villain they were fighting was
like
an alien.
Animaniac?
No. Not really.
Dating to the max?
Go on.
Sorry, just had to ask.
But the big villain they fought was a little slug that would burrow into your brain in and start to control you. The little slug is always going to win because it will always make you believe that you are in control, that you can beat it, and that there's nothing it can do to hurt you. And because you are underestimating it, it is able to move in such a way, in such unnoticeable ways, in such subtle ways, that before you know you've lost, the game's over.
Sounds like the faculty.
Yeah, that sounds like absolutely like the faculty.
The question is, do the fire in the sky aliens get duped by that or not?
Nine times out of ten.
Yeah.
Slugs will always trick you. Every time.
Which way are you going, Brandon, just for posterity's sake here?
You know, actually thinking about it, I don't know if I've ever seen the faculty either. I've always liked the idea of the faculty. If I had to go to the video store today and pick one or the other, I'm like going for the slugs.
Well, who isn't?
Yeah, and I'm probably going for the slugs on this too. Yeah,
so fuck fire in the sky.
So the queen slug and the slug infested Jon Stewart both advance. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I feel good about that choice. I feel like we made the right choice.
All right. The naked lady.
The second
Wait,
trial.
There was a naked lady involved?
Yeah, that's the queen slug.
Yeah, the queen slug is naked.
Oh, great. So I just assumed she was a big-ass Jabba the Hutt slug.
Well, at the end she is.
Can I just say to...
when she gets wet.
Yeah. So that if you throw some water on her, you slap the hogs.
That's what you
meant. Slap
the hogs. Salt, you're a winner.
Sure.
But I remember so much hype around this movie. It's just one of those things that never, like, actually crossed paths with me where, like, I'm going to watch the faculty night.
It's very 90s. It will take you right to the 90s.
Oh, it's hyper 90s.
Yep. It's very 90s.
That's one thing, like, because it came out about junior, senior year of high school, and it was one of those movies I probably should have been more into.
All right, second trial. Here we go. Ready? Right.
Moving on.
Sometimes they're gonna be a little lopsided, and that just happens. If you saw the movie Contact, you remember at the very end of Contact, Jodie Foster was greeted by an alien that took the shape of her dear old dad. So we have dear old dad.
It's going down. Already.
Versus a bioraptor from the movie Pitch Black.
So.
And I looked it up. A bioraptor, according to Kajumadi or
he
something.
Wait.
Yeah. They weigh 1,200 pounds.
Wow.
They're a half ton. No, wait. The Bioraptor is 350. The Bioraptor is 350. The Arachnid from Starship Troopers, which is coming up, that one's 1,200 pounds.
So I'm just going to make the real proportions of this clear from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Vin Diesel is literally invincible.
Yeah.
Basically.
And but even the Bioraptors can fuck his world up.
It's true.
So the Bioraptors, obviously...
Is the father corporal at all in Contact? It seems like he's kind of...
Does not matter.
Hard to say.
He's not Vin Diesel, and that's not good enough.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
No, the dad in Contact, I think, probably doesn't really count. He's like...
Is he an illusion?
He's an illusion. He's like the projection. He's the projection from Star Wars, where they're like, help me, Obi-Wan. That's basically the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know.
His power, minimal, super minimal.
Yeah,
it seems like getting in people's minds and creating illusions.
It's not enough.
Something.
It is not enough.
Yeah, I'm just trying to come up with a scenario where he wins. I mean, maybe
you're
the
trying to win the contest.
Kate. I'm sorry.
You're supposed to be objective.
If I had to pick a better movie.
I'm just
Contact
saying.
Contact wins on hands down.
It's a great movie.
Oh, the movie is amazing. However,
that's not what we're
but
doing.
But if you're battling aliens,
yeah, no,
no,
yeah, I gotta go. A lot of chance. It's the Bioraptor.
Their actual effectiveness. I'm gonna go.
It's called a Bioraptor.
Absolutely.
Right? What more do you need to know?
Yeah, they're pretty great.
I mean, it's not called the guy from Contact. Like that. You know.
Also a fair point. All right, so the Bioraptor wins. The next trial, the second to last trial, is the Arachnid from Starship Troopers. That one's 1,200 pounds. Versus the alien that gets trapped in M. Night Shyamalan's closet in the movie Signs. He gets his fingers cut off by Mel Gibson.
You know, the Starship Troopers bug will rip this shit out of the M. Night Shyamalans. And plus they have water in their veins, so there's a pretty weak point there.
Yeah, I mean, that whole, can't they use their bodily fluids to launch things at
in
those bugs in Starship
not,
Troopers?
Not this particular guy, but...
Oh,
not
okay.
The arachnids. No. The arachnids are the yellow ones.
They're basically the grunts of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
They basically stab you to death with their legs and chew you up with their mandibles.
I gotta figure once it goes to chew the alien up, it's gonna get wet, and that's a problem. right? I mean, even if they can withstand it.
If there's a heavy rain, there's a problem.
I only need one question answered.
Okay.
Can an arachnid hold a cup?
Yes.
Okay, then the arachnid wins.
It can do shots. It can do shots. I think the arachnid can
do shots.
It can
operate a hose.
Then it wins.
Sorry, M. Night Shyamalan.
Sorry, dude.
All right.
One more in the loss column. I'm sure you're used to it by now.
Dude. This one. Oh, my God. Oh.
It's only the last five movies, Zach.
It was a pre... I like Signs. I'm just going to say it. All right, here we go. Ready?
Signs was good, but still...
This is probably my favorite disproportionate contest. We came, we had a hard time in Communion coming up with which alien, because there are three alien groups in Communion. And ultimately what we decided was the most threatening thing in the movie.
Is Christopher Walken holding a shotgun in a bathrobe.
No.
Because, no. Dude, seriously. If you walked out of your bedroom and were like, what the fuck is going on? And you were like, oh, Christopher Walken in a bathrobe
and he's
with
delirious,
a shotgun?
Well, and he's muttering to himself.
Trying to send the message.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think you would be more terrified by Christopher Walken than you would by an actual legitimate alien.
None of the ones. Agree. All the aliens do in Communion is dance. So we picked threatening thing we could.
Oh.
A delirious Christopher Walken in a bathrobe wielding a shotgun, and he is fighting 35 pounds of E.T. the extraterrestrial.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Okay. So here's the scenarios I see. Okay. Obviously, Christopher Walken blows him away with the shotgun is one option. Just E.T. goes to stick his finger up. It's over. But E.T. can levitate, and maybe he levitates that shotgun away from Walken and turns it on him. That would be the other scenario I could see.
You know, E.T. can heal shit with his mind, though.
That's,
he could take a fucking shotgun blast.
However, needs children to help fully heal him.
These people look like they're dying.
It's also worth noting that E.T. really, really, really loves Reese's Pieces.
If
you promise him that he gets some Reese's Pieces if Christopher Walken dies, E.T. is capable of a lot of shit. He has a lot of tricks up his sleeve.
It's a motivation question, you think? It's about motivating E.T.?
Absolutely. And I have a backup, just to strengthen that a little bit. It's worth noting that the title of the film, E.T. the Extraterrestrial...
Oh, E.T.
initially had a longer title.
Oh.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
The Erect Terrestrial.
The Erect Terrestrial murdering Christopher Walken.
That's my autobiography.
They shortened it for some reason.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial and his adventures on Earth.
Oh.
Now, what this implies is that there are more adventures
there
to come.
There are sequels, I thought.
Now, we only see one adventure, but what this tells us is that E.T. has the most critical thing you can have in any battle with a fictional character.
A botany degree?
Plot armor. If you have plot armor, you are unkillable. If the plot requires you alive to move forward, you cannot be defeated.
I was going to say Pumojis.
E.T. has more adventures owed to us.
Yeah.
So E.T. must live.
Interesting.
Okay.
I respect your point, but then I also picture Christopher Walken like
with
just kind of tossing Reese's Pieces in front of E.T. and while he bends down and then sees an aloe plant. Boom. E.T. is gone. So that's the way I'm voting.
Okay.
Finally, a voice of sanity.
Like, the
that's the voice of reason.
In the movie Envy, Christopher Walken got taken out by a bow and arrow for a kid's.
A bow and arrow, which E.T. did not have access to.
E.T. is on a whole other level past bow and arrows. He can levitate shit with his mind. He could totally take out Christopher Walken with just mind bullets.
We have not seen the we don't know that they have mind bullets.
But he can levitate shit with his mind.
This is true.
I gotta counter that with we only know that Kyle Gass has mind bullets.
It's levitation, Holmes.
So what's the vote here?
How do you guys
I'm so going Christopher Walken.
I'm going E.T.
I have to stick with my plot armor argument because I don't care what y'all think of me.
Upset.
I think that's fair to say upset.
An upset?
Right?
Oh, my God.
As much as I love Christopher Walken.
I'm not going to lie. I thought a delirious Christopher Walken in a bathrobe with a double-barreled shotgun, I thought he was going to go all the way to the end. I pegged him as a final contestant, top three finisher.
There's only so much Christopher Walken in a bathrobe can do.
Entertain
Me is one of them.
I can understand why you guys would feel that way, but you haven't podcasted with idiots much.
It is true.
Well, I mean, we have each other.
It's true. We do have each other, and that goes a long way. Okay, so now you have the Battle Royale. The following four go into a cage, and only one or potentially more could live. The Queen Slug, a slug-infested John Stewart, a Bioraptor, an Arachnid, and E.T., the levitating, mind-bullet-endowed extraterrestrial.
With plot armor, thank you.
With plot armor.
With plot armor.
Okay.
With sequels that never got made, I would add, though I'm being objective.
Never got made yet.
Yet. It's okay. Coming out next year, probably.
I have to ask, are we talking one-on-one Bioraptor or the whole horde?
One Bioraptor. And one Arachnid. That's it. They're lone.
Okay, so let's unpack this for a second.
Oh, wow.
What is the first, who is the quickest out of the four, and what do they do? I gotta figure the Bioraptor, probably the quicker, because he's gonna hear some kind of sound.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay, so the first thing the Bioraptor hears is the Arachnid,
those
right?
Those two, I think, are the front runners.
Because the Bioraptor goes by sound. Aaron, Kate,
yeah.
Goes by sound?
Yep, they use this kind of sonar thing.
Yeah, okay, Diesel confuses him.
So, wait, Vin Diesel is here?
They have a blind spot.
I'm on Team Vin Diesel. He wins. I'm not a moron.
Yeah, no, we didn't put him in for obvious
Vin
reasons.
Vin Diesel is not technically an alien. So
wait, yes, he is. He's Groot.
No.
Groot wins.
He's got a shine job. He's just got a shine job.
He just got a shine job
two
in
shine
prison.
Jobs.
For 40...
20 menthol cools.
Oh, I thought it was 40.
Might have been 40.
Whatever. 40
it was a
menthol
lot
cools.
Of menthol cools.
Plus or minus
however,
20 menthol cools.
He's not technically an alien, so he can't fight. However, he's probably standing in the sidelines.
Well,
like,
someone did make the argument that he's an alien
oh,
because
I bet
he evolves off planet.
He's giving a monologue about family.
He's not in the battle. He's not in the battle.
Or a hand job.
For okay. Obvious reasons.
It's a super touching
different.
Hand job.
That's different.
Oh, sorry.
The Arachnid
different.
Strikes okay. First, and the Bioraptor is going to go after him. Now, what would the
super
Arachnid strike at first? Okay, is there anything bug-like?
Vin Diesel.
The slug?
He's not
the
there.
The slug?
Oh.
Yep.
I don't feel like the slug has much of a chance.
You're not
here.
Supposed to contribute.
Because I don't feel like he has much. I don't
hold
feel
on.
Like he has much.
But John Stewart's in the arena, right?
Yes. But
a slug-infested John Stewart,
yeah.
Right?
There is a scenario where the slug wins. Because if the slug is able to keep
pounds.
Itself alive long enough, possibly by aligning with E.T. or Christopher Walken or whatever. If
there is no Christopher Walken.
I thought he was involved.
He was beaten by E.T.
Fair enough. Okay, well, if the slug is able to keep itself alive long enough, even just one of them, that it can burrow into the brain of whichever takes out the Bioraptor or the Arachnid first. Because I feel like those are going to be the last two real threats standing. If the slugs can stay alive, because slug infested implies a lot of slugs, if just one of those can climb up and get into the brain of either the Bioraptor or the Arachnid, then this thing can be turned on its head real quick.
I do think, Kate, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's one of those things where all of the drops of blood are their own slugs. Is that correct? In the faculty? When you cut something off of someone, doesn't
absolutely.
That piece turn into its own slug?
There you go.
Which
so,
can crawl
mm-hmm.
out and infect other things.
I mean,
it's
all you
thing.
Need is one of those slugs to make it to the end with one other alien.
The only
if
thing that kills them in the faculty is a drug called scat.
Okay, well, salt. Let's take it the which battles hash out first.
Okay.
So I think we established that the Arachnid, whatever it's attacking, the Bioraptor goes after it because it's the quickest, right?
Right.
So that's probably our first battle. Now, I got to figure the Arachnid's probably going to go after Jon Stewart, but Jon Stewart is going to go after E.T. because who else
why?
Is he going to talk to?
Don't forget,
Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart is infected with slugs. So
right.
Even if you kill the body, those slugs still
right.
survive.
I'm just trying to figure out where the battles happen here. So I figured Jon Stewart, if he's looking around, am I going to talk to a bug? Am I going to talk to Bioraptor? No, I'm going to talk to the bipedal thing with
the
heart
thing
that glows.
Looks most like me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try and turn on its heart light.
Turn on your heart light.
So that I can destroy
wait
it, right?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on
E.T.
a second.
Is so
Jon Stewart does not have
even
an E.T.
with his mind
heart.
Bullets, it's not happening.
No, he goes after
E.T. He goes after
E.T.
E.T. He's
because
oh,
that's the most likely
okay.
He has to reason.
To ally?
With.
He's going
to
ally with
no, to like,
to
sneak in
friends?
To destroy
to get his tongue
right?
In his ear is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
No
so
way.
I gotta figure we have our pairs, right? Does that make sense?
I can see that. I'm not so convinced it would immediately split into pairs.
Hmm. There's no partridges in a
I feel
tree.
Like there would be a lot of the Bioraptor and the Arachnid taking each other on while swatting away the other things trying to beat away at them. Because if we are to believe that the Queen Slug and Slug-Infested Jon Stewart plus E.T. have any intelligence, they're going to realize the two biggest creatures are fighting and try to wear them down as much as possible so they have the best chance at defeating the winner of that fight.
So how do we unpack this then? I just thought it was easy by pairing it off.
I think it really depends on what you believe wins the fight between the arachnid and the bioraptor, and then whether
or not
you believe the winner of that fight is capable of taking on all comers. I tried so hard not to laugh.
You almost made it. Yeah, it was a good run.
Okay, well, I really think if the bioraptor goes up against the arachnid, I saw a lot of arachnids like bursting in Starship Troopers. I don't feel like I saw as many bioraptors.
They got 1,000 pounds on them, though.
So not your mom.
They got 1,000 pounds on them?
About 900 pounds, yep.
Okay.
An arachnid is 1,200 pounds. That's a half-ton insect.
That's true.
The bioraptor is 350 pounds, but they do fly.
They fly. That's going to fuck your world up if you can't fly.
That's a pretty good point. Until E.T. slams you to the ground.
Yeah. Definitely an advantage.
So unless the arachnid can convince E.T. to work with it, which, A, I don't think it's
capable
of.
John Stewart could totally do that, though.
And yeah, John Stewart is the one who would, I think he could talk E.T. into it. Like, hey, man, we could get out of here, you and me.
You and me, man.
Oh, absolutely.
He'd talk you into anything.
We can be friends.
The problem you run into is if they can't escape, you need to be able to help the arachnid defeat the bioraptor, because the bioraptor is probably your biggest threat out of those two. So if E.T. and John Stewart are smart enough to realize they can levitate the arachnid to fight the flying bioraptor, then they have a huge weight, reach, and probably poison sickness advantage.
Just whole, like, because the arachnids have they're a walking fighter. I mean, essentially, because they have basically swords for arms.
That's true.
So,
that's
true. They are a walking fighting machine.
The flight is their big weakness, right?
If you're fighting something and fly, there's a huge weakness there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we agree that Jon Stewart talks E.T. into levitating
They absolutely make arachnid. At least one run for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if he levitates...
Obviously, that's what would happen. It's pretty reasonable to say that would happen.
So if he levitates the arachnid to the bioraptor, I gotta picture the arachnid winning with the swords for arms, right?
So then the question is, can one of the remaining between E.T., Queen Slug, and Slugfest, and John Stewart, are one of those capable of taking down the arachnid?
Okay,
I think
I have a simple answer here. Because E.T. has now raised the arachnid. John Stewart puts his tongue through E.T.'s ear. E.T. dies, the levitation ends, and the bug splats on the ground.
I like that Queen Slug is just not involved in this.
Yeah, Queen Slug, she's large, she's pretty quick.
At this point, I'm thinking Queen Slug is going to win the whole damn thing, because they take down the arachnid, then you're left with slug-infested Jon Stewart, plus E.T.
Yeah, and levitation only takes you so far.
Uh-huh.
What's that?
Death by Elijah Wood.
You know what? The other thing that I come across in this whole fight...
It's not very much.
...is the fact that even if... The arachnid just tears the shit out of everybody. The fact that their blood can polymorph into a new slug.
There's so many slugs. There's so many.
You can...
It's a lot of slugs.
There is so many, Zach.
There is a lot of blood you can take.
It just blew his mind. The full realization.
It's over. This episode is over.
Yeah,
I don't know about you guys. I'm convinced Queen Slug wins this thing.
I'm convinced too.
Does Slug Infested Jon Stewart survive?
Queen Slug
will
take down. Slug Infested Jon Stewart is not, but a pawn in Queen Slug's larger game.
It's true.
Yeah,
we are feminist. We get it.
You know, in fact, what probably happens is when that scenario I said where E.T.'s levitating the arachnid. Okay, it kills the bioraptor, then it falls. The Queen Slug is out of the way, but it just falls on Jon Stewart. Uh-huh. I mean, Queen Slug is left alone.
He would go out that way.
Yep,
it would be kind of a wah-wah.
Plus, the easiest way to convince E.T. to use his levitating powers for you is to use a slug to take over his mind.
It's true.
Mm.
So who would have thought the faculty moves on?
Me.
The faculty emerges.
Everybody.
I was making the case
all
for
all of my
slug
eggs
early.
Were in the gun-toting Christopher Walker. That's pretty disappointing.
I was kind of with you, too.
Just an upset.
I really didn't think Brandon was going to go with me with E.T. I thought I was going to be the lone wolf on that one.
Wow.
Hey, I had a lot of Because I've been thinking about this for a while, and E.T.'s got a lot of stuff that you don't necessarily see, but he's got the power to do.
He's got the power of the night.
The power of the night. That's a reference to the movie Critters, which we just watched, which is a good segue to the next group. We can't hash this out now, but this is your next assignment. We are going to keep feeding you groups. The Nautilus group was won by the Queen Slug. Group B is called the group of Scroop. Yeah, Scroop. We're going to name all the groups, so help us come up with names of groups. So these are your next aliens, just a kind of little preview for what's ahead for this little segment. Ready? Episode 9 was the movie Alien. There's going to be a facehugger running around. Episode 10 is the movie Aliens, so the Queen Alien is going to be involved.
Guys, we go from little to big.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The Thing, we have infected Wilford Brimley wielding an axe.
Oh, God.
Nice. Without a mustache.
Sans mustache.
Early favorite.
Important to add. Yeah, well, Christopher Walken can't survive. Hard to believe. Wilford Brimley can. Number 12 from the movie Flight of the Navigator, the Puckmarin.
Oh, the Puckmarin.
There's actually two Puckmarins in the poster, and so we're okay with sacrificing one of them.
Yeah, if you kill one, it's fine.
You still have another one. From Cocoon, we have a rakish Brian Dennehy. He's really
no double duty on Wilford Brimley today.
No. There's no double dick dude.
Right. Action. Right. From the movie The Blob, we have some blob.
Blob.
On board.
How Jell-O. Big of blob? Does it grow during
bowl.
The fight?
Well,
bowl of Jell-O.
What we said initially was the little jar. We watched the 80s version, and a priest has a little jar
That's
at the end.
That's the one I know, my friend.
With a little tiny bit of blob in it.
Yeah, a little bit of blob. Yeah.
So some
so
blob.
The rapture has come.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's
Reverend
jar.
Has thrown
he
down the jar.
He throws the blob into the... Exactly, yeah, your verse. The last two, then, will be Johnny Steele from the movie Critters.
Power
he is a bounty hunter in that movie. And then
his name is Johnny Goddamn Steele.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You may want to like do some research on that one because he's pretty fantastic. At the very least, you should listen to episode 15 of the Alien Movie Project where we talk about him.
You should really listen to all of them. All 16 at this point
is part of the Not Safe for Network.
If you're familiar with the movie Critters,
it is part of Not Safe for
it
Network.
It is part of the network. Yeah. Yes. If you're familiar with the movie Critters, then you know that there's little critters in there. One of them grows to be at least two stories. So we have a two-story Krait and Johnny Steel coming out of Critters. Those
Fuck
are the two.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then last, we're going to watch The Abyss, so we don't know what's in this, but apparently there are Dayglow gummies.
I do. Yeah, we might be aliens. Talking about angel-looking aliens.
Yeah,
I
think. We've heard that.
Yep. So the one of those
the
from
Messiah
The Abyss.
The Messiah aliens.
That's the group of Scroop. Gentlemen,
that's coming next.
Get to it.
Oh, that was perfect.
Fill those seats so we don't have to.
Want to live forever.
Not Safe for Network. So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
that's
just...
That's great for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So RDJ. We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. No. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that insane, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, if we could look at the flip side of that, too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do, does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
It's as much of a threat as a dirty
400-pound topless woman, like, running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over
it's
here.
Family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh, God, where am I? Oh, guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys.
You guys, I'm going to have some of this cake.
Hey,
you guys mind if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you going to wear that hat?
I'm just going to take some of this cake.
Montauk Skies.
By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can
pills.
I just say, I
washes
appreciate...
them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.